Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to St. John's for our annual Children's Christmas program this evening. Everything that you need for the program is found in the bulletin. You can also follow along. All the congregational parts are on the screens. If you want to make use of a hymnal during the service, the hymn numbers are going to be noted. That's the blue book that should be in every row of pews. And with that, we'll begin with our processional hymn, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
Would the congregation please stand? And we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We join in the opening dialogue. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to you all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. The whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. And we pray. O Jesus Christ, your manger is our paradise at which we now recline. There, O Lord, we find the Word made flesh for us. There, O Lord, your grace brightly shines. Move us by your Spirit to depend on you alone. Enable us to be of good cheer. Keep us steadfast in the midst of sorrow. Fix our hearts on you, our greatest treasure. For in you and through faith in you, we possess a lasting crown and look forward to honor beyond measure in the eternal glories of heaven. We ask these things in your name, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. And the congregation may be seated.
In the beginning, these familiar words from Genesis launched the account of God creating the universe. The eternal God, who knows no beginning and no end, created time.
In the beginning,
from there, we hear about the creation of water and sky, land and vegetation, stars and planets, and all animals in the sky and in the waters and on the earth. Then God created humans.
God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that crawls on the earth." God created the man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27.
After creating the first man and woman, God established marriage and gave humans their purpose. He blessed these people named Adam and Eve and said to them,
"Be fruitful, multiply, build the earth, and subdue it.
God also made a way for humans to show their love for him. He gave them a command that they could follow. The record of the dawning of time concludes with these joy-filled observations.
It was not long before the perfection and joy in all of God's creation was shattered, and God's perfect relationship with humans was severed. It began in heaven. In the last book of the Bible, we are told that shortly after God created all that there is, a rebellion took place, led by an angel of light who became an agent of darkness. Back in the first book of the Bible, we hear what this devil, Satan, did next. He seeded doubts and spread lies. He did only what his fallen nature could do: deceive, harm, and relentlessly pursue the spiritual death of God's beloved children.
And then it happened. Love for following God's command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was replaced with rebellion against his command. Eve ate. Adam accepted her offer of the fruit and also ate. Sin and all its evil effects had entered the world. Adam and Eve realized that they were naked and felt shamed. They heard God walking in the garden and hid in fear. They avoided any blame for their wrongdoing at all costs.
We'll join the congregation in singing hymn number 574 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, verses 1 and 2.
Adam and Eve's rebellion had immediate and severe consequences. A great darkness had come over and into creation, not in physical light, but in life, now and forever. Pain, curses, adversities, tiring and aggravated daily effort, broken relationships, and worst of all, physical death and eternal separation from God for eternity. The prophet Isaiah sums up this darkness that by nature is at the center of every human soul and into which all are born.
Can there be any hope after this great and eternal fall, after meriting nothing but distress, death, and eternal darkness? Yes. Returning to Genesis, we immediately read this promise from God, graciously given to Adam and Eve after their fateful choice. The dawn of hope, the first promise of a Savior who would crush the devil and redeem humanity from his evil grasp. The prophet Isaiah repeats this promise with greater detail.
Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, ever.
promise made is only good if it is kept. God repeated the promise of a Savior for hundreds of years, offering more details about the Savior's appearing and keeping it central in the minds and hearts of his people as they endured the many ups and downs of their sin-filled existence. But would it ever happen? Would the Savior ever appear? Generation after generation died still waiting. Would God ever fulfill that promise? Would he keep it? The gospel writers report the details. When the time was right, God sent his messenger to a young virgin named Mary.
The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 and 31 through 33. Chapter 1, verse 34. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Luke chapter 1, verse 35.
A pregnant virgin? Yes, just as Isaiah foretold. But that would cause quite a stir in the community. An unmarried woman found to be pregnant. Matthew records the commotion and God's faithfulness to his salvation promise and plan. Trusting in God's promises, Mary and Joseph move forward to the blessed day of the Savior's birth. Luke records the final details of that first Christmas.
Thank you.
When Jesus, the world's long-promised and only Savior, was born, God ensured that the news began spreading immediately. Luke continues his report. Those words know no bounds of time or culture, of status or reputation, of sin or shame or guilt. This event wasn't just for the shepherds, it's for all of us too. Jesus was born to be your Savior and mine, the dawn of joy for all the world. Such joyous news calls for glorious praise, and the shepherds saw and heard just that.
The congregation will now sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing from the Christian Worship Hymnal, stanzas 1 through 3. Hark the Herald Angels Sing from the Christian Worship Hymnal, 350, verses 1 through 3.
The good news of the long-awaited birth of the Savior had a remarkable effect on these shepherds, Luke tells us. And what did the shepherds do after finding Jesus in the manger? Luke tells us that they told others the message they had been told about this child, and that they returned to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2:17-18. The birth of Jesus was a turning point in history, from waiting on the fulfillment of a promise to sharing the news of a promise fulfilled. They wouldn't be called Christians until some decades later, but the birth of Jesus was the dawning of a new name for the people of God, the followers of the God-man, Jesus. Luke tells us in his other book of the Bible, Acts.
Like the shepherds that first Christmas night, God's believers share throughout the world the good news of sins forgiven in Jesus, and the Lord blesses that effort. Luke shares this report about those first called Christians. The good news that began at Christmas culminated in Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Jesus' death in our place redeemed us from all our sins. His resurrection defeated death forever. This salvation is ours. This brigand is ours to share with everyone.
Joy has gone for you, for me, for all.
Joy has gone.
please stand. And we bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you fulfilled your ancient promises and sent us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Your Son left the glory of heaven and became flesh of our flesh. He became our brother so that through him we might become your children. We marvel at this grace, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. And we are indeed rich, rich in forgiveness, rich in salvation, rich in having peace with you. And so we ask, dear Savior, to give us a childlike, simple faith that sees your glory even in lowliness. Help us all to rejoice in your birth. In sincere faith, we join the song of the angels. We share the delight of the shepherds. We adore you with the Magi. May the truth, love, and redemption that you have brought dwell in our hearts and lives. And since you came for all people, Lord, help us to share that good news of great joy that we have in you with others. And hear us, Lord, for the sake of your name. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And the congregation may be seated. Before we conclude with our final hymn, just a couple things to bring to your attention. First of all, there are many thank yous to be said, too many thank yous to list individually here, but saying thank you to our children who have so beautifully presented the message of the gospel to us this evening, and those who did a lot of work to get them ready for this evening, I think it would be fitting for us to show our appreciation for that. Secondly, you'll see it on the screen after the service concludes here, but we are going to be celebrating the birth of our Savior two times. Once on Christmas Eve, we'll have a candlelight service at 6:30, and once on Christmas Day, we'll have a festival service at 9 o'clock that morning. We would love to have all of you join us for those celebrations of Jesus' birth, because it's not just tonight, those continue. In every row of pews, you should find a black book. That's our friendship register. If you would be so kind as to leave your name and your information, we would love the chance to stay in touch with you. So thank you in advance for doing that. During the recessional hymn here, the children are actually going to recess out. Please do not race to follow them out. Let the hymn conclude. Let them get downstairs and then go downstairs yourselves and retrieve your kids, but not before you get a cookie and some hot cocoa, which are going to be downstairs. So enjoy a cookie, enjoy some hot cocoa, enjoy some fellowship downstairs after the conclusion of the service. And from all of us here at St. John's, we want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. And we'll conclude this evening with our final hymn, Joy to the World.
The congregation will close our service with singing hymn number 353 from the Christian worship hymnal, Joy to the World. The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM Baraboo or streaming online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of service will be shown at noon today on Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch our services on St. John Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3-year-old preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. The television producer is Donald Harmon. This is Dave Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for him who died for you. For more information about our congregation, go to stjohnsbaraboo.org. We thank you for joining us today.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
Why God's gift of a Savior is about more than good behavior, this week on the Lutheran Hour.
Scrooge can't see it because he thinks he's a good man now, but he's dead. That's the truth that needs to grip him before an example can help him.
Author Charles Dickens told how the spirits of Christmas helped Ebenezer Scrooge become a better person. But is that why we celebrate Christmas? Dr. Michael Ziegler tells how God's gift of a Savior is about more than improving our behavior.